White nationalism is the inevitable reaction of whites who are being ethnically cleansed from our homelands. Of course, most people are not so vulgar as to explicitly call for the ethnic cleansing of whites. Instead, they use euphemisms like diversity and multiculturalism. Whenever a business, a church, a school, or a neighborhood becomes more diverse or multicultural, that simply means fewer whites and more non-whites. Replacing non-whites with whites is never lauded as diversity or multiculturalism. When it happens in a non-white neighborhood, it is decried as gentrification. When it happens in a non-white country, it is condemned as imperialism and colonialism, or even ethnic cleansing and genocide. Non-whites get to keep their spaces, but whites don't. What is theirs, they keep. What is ours is negotiable. Since diversity means nothing more than the replacement of whites with non-whites, which is ethnic cleansing, and all the leading institutions of our society are actively promoting diversity, obviously, a reaction was inevitable. To appreciate that fact, we don't need to go into the arguments for or against diversity. We don't need to talk about biology, history, sociology, or economics. We don't need to know which side is right. All that can come later. Right now, all we need to recognize is that whites, like any other healthy animal, will fight back when we feel that we are being attacked. When whites become aware that we are being attacked as a group, other political issues, including the most contentious issues that divide us, seem less important. Conversely, what we have in common, our racial and ethnic identity, the target on our back, which we can't pull off because it is part of us, becomes more important. In a homogeneous society, politics is about differing conceptions of the common good, because in a homogeneous society, citizens have a great deal in common. We often take this for granted. Indeed, we seldom even notice it until diversity and multiculturalism are thrust upon us. In a multicultural society, the only thing that people have in common is a territory and a political and economic system in which organized groups that do share a common identity fight against one another for power and resources. White nationalism is identity politics for white people, and it will inevitably arise when formerly white societies become multiracial societies. It will only cease when multiracialism is replaced with racially and ethnically homogeneous white societies again. White nationalism, at minimum, is white identity politics within the context of a multiracial society. Whites will inevitably organize to preserve our wealth, power, and communities from non-white depredations. Such white nationalist politics need not even be explicitly racial. Indeed, when white nationalism first emerges, it is seldom willing to directly confront the taboo against racial identity, so it embraces civic rather than racial nationalism and pursues white interests under the guise of universal principles like rights and legality. Nevertheless, even the most sheepish and bashful, even the most self-contradictory and self-defeating white nationalist sentiments were powerful enough to carry the Brexit referendum and propel Donald Trump to the U.S. presidency. Indeed, such implicit white nationalism is the animating principle of the growing populist nationalist movements across the white world. As white nationalists rack up victories, we will inevitably move from implicit to explicit racial advocacy, and we will switch from defense to offense. We will not just halt white dispossession, we will reverse it. We will replace anti-white ethnic cleansing with pro-white ethnic cleansing. We will demand nice white neighborhoods, schools, businesses, communities, and countries, and getting those requires replacing non-whites with whites. At this point, white nationalism will come to a fork in the road. The left fork will preserve multicultural societies, but put whites firmly in charge and restore white supermajorities. This is the white supremacist option, to which civic nationalists are logically committed, because to them, the right fork is morally and politically frightening. The rightward rout embraces the deepest meaning and impetus of white nationalism. It rejects diversity entirely in favor of the idea of the ethnostate. It is willing to move peoples and borders to create racially and ethnically homogeneous homelands for all European peoples who aspire to self-determination. This is the ultimate aim of white nationalism as I conceive it. Europe is the motherland of our race. Until the aftermath of World War II, it was the exclusive homeland of our race. No other race has any legitimate claim on it. Thus, there is absolutely no reason why the nations of Europe should not remove all non-whites. In the case of the United States and other European settler societies, fairness demands some accommodation for the remnants of indigenous peoples and the descendants of black slaves, preferably by giving them autonomous homelands. In the case of the U.S., I am willing to entertain civic nationalist approximations to the ethnostate as temporary, expedient compromises with political reality. For instance, I believe that white nationalists should seriously promote a new immigration/emigration policy that aims to return to the ethnic status quo of 1965, which was in many ways the peak of American civilization. The goal would simply be to erase the catastrophic error of opening our borders to the Third World. This transformation could take place gradually, with 2065 as the target date for completion. This sort of proposal could even meet with the approval of many non-whites because it gives a place to their kind in America's future. As long as whites had complete freedom to disassociate with other races, the result would be a de facto white nationalist society for the vast majority of whites. But there is no guarantee that such a racially segregated society would not eventually grow complacent, then delusional and profligate, repeating all the mistakes that are destroying us today. Thus, white nationalists will have to keep moving the goalposts toward the complete realization of the ethnostate. There's no reason for us to ever stop extolling the idea of a completely homogeneous society, because even the most timid civic nationalists know, in their heart of hearts, that America would be a better place with no blacks or Mexicans or Muslims whatsoever. Whether white nationalism ultimately leads to segregated, white supremacist societies or homogeneous ethnostates in North America and around the white world depends on historical contingencies that cannot be predicted or controlled. It is also possible that white nationalism will fail entirely in some countries. But we can say that white nationalism is inevitable because it already exists, even though its ultimate victory is uncertain. We do not appeal to pseudo-scientific notions of inevitable historical progress like Marxists. And although many of us take inspiration from traditional and Spenglerian cyclical views of history, we also believe that it is our duty to fight for a golden age rather than to give in to decline or to count on historical forces to do our work for us. In the beginning, white nationalism is as inevitable as an abused dog biting its tormentor. Beyond that, victory is only as inevitable as we make it. There is good reason for optimism, however, simply because racial and ethnic diversity within the same society are sources of disunity, conflict, and the erasure of distinct identities. Anti-white ethnic cleansing can only be maintained by lies and moral blackmail, and when these fail, by intimidation and outright violence. One can flout reality for a long time as long as you can make other people pay the price. But eventually multicultural regimes lose their strength through division and chaos and their legitimacy through lies and broken promises. By contrast, since white nationalism is in harmony with reality, our strength will only grow because we understand that it arises from unity, and our credibility will only grow because it is based on speaking the truth. Indeed, because the best evidence of our superiority will be provided by the system itself, white nationalism will in essence feed off the system's decline. Eventually, the trajectories of their decline and our rise will cross, And when our rising power exceeds their declining ability to control us, then we win.